I should like to draw your attention this afternoon, briefly, to the opening words of that second Bible reading where the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, these words, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him. So that's our little text for this afternoon. We then, as workers together with him. He must have all the praise and all the glory. I sometimes get a little bit, disturbed when I hear people say, my church, my fellowship. Beloved, it's not my church. It's his church. And we are there this afternoon to give praise to God. We then as workers together with him. Some of the modern versions of the Bible you will find will leave those few words out. But they are so important. Some of the modern versions would read, we then as workers together beseech you also. It doesn't say that in the authorized version that we have here. We then as workers together with him. He could well do without us, couldn't he? We need to remember that. We're not here this afternoon to celebrate the fact that we, or the membership here, have kept this work going. God has kept it going. God is still on the throne. And he will add to this church. Men and women will come in. We believe. We must believe. We must pray. Men and women, young people, will come in and find the Savior for themselves. God removes his workers. We then, as workers together with him, ambassadors for Christ. What a privilege it is to be a worker with God. He should choose such as us, poor, weak, unworthy as we are. We then, as workers together with him. So it's not basically our fellowship, our church. We've kept together for 100 years. It's what God has done and what God is yet able to do. I came across these words recently. Workers together with God implies a partnership, whereas workers together for God would tend to lead to pride. I think that's very true, beloved. Let me read that again. Workers together with God implies a partnership. Whereas workers together for God would tend to lead to pride. Look what I've done. Look at the work I've done. Look at my labours. Look at my service. Look at the people I've brought into church. No, 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 no. Away with such thoughts. We then as workers together with God. Now I want us just to meditate on that for a short time this afternoon and consider what a great privilege it is to be a worker with God. With God. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. When Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9, he could say, for we are laborers together with God. There again is the same union, you see. The same communion. We're working with God. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even ask or even think. The effect of this great calling, this coexistence in terms of our service with God. We're united together with God in our prayer life, within the life of the church. A wonderful thing it is when prayer meetings are still being held in some churches in our land today. I was reading earlier on today of the mighty times of revival in the Isle of Lewis, and I've had the privilege of being there a number of times preaching God's word. And years ago, that mighty revival through a season of prayer, a time of prayer, earnest prayer, two ladies wrestling with God, laboring together in prayer, believing that God would work. And many there on the Isle of Lewis came to faith in Christ I was reading earlier today of a pastor that I know in Northern Ireland, and in his church, over 100 people meet every week for their prayer meeting, hour and a half. And when that prayer meeting finishes, a group of about 60 remain to pray till midnight. It's happening today in some church. We then, as workers together with God, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, as we're united in our prayer life, God helping us, burdening us, beseeching us to seek his face in earnest prayer. Do you have a prayer meeting in your church, even where two or three are gathered together in my name? There am I in the midst. I attended a prayer meeting this week in a church not too far from here, three people. And when I went a week or two ago, they said, there's only three of us meet. I said, no, there's four of you. Four of you. Four of you. In our prayer life, in our submission to God's will, we then as workers together with him. Is there anyone here this afternoon making their own decisions before seeking him? In our submission to God's will. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to write so clearly and so beautifully in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who wait upon him, to those who believe in him, to those who seek him in prayer. Our submission to his will. One has put it so beautifully, content to fill a little place if God be glorified. If God be glorified. That's what we're seeking to do this afternoon, isn't it? To glorify him. It's not that we have kept Witten Chapel going. It's what he has done. He could remove any of us at any time. Any time. Even today, before the end of the day, some of us may be called to meet him. We then, as workers together with him, it's interlocking, intimate fellowship. Workers with God, let's apply it in a practical way. I believe, first of all, they will be concerned about the content of the message. Now, there are some dear people who would say to us, we don't need to worry about the content. As long as we're all working together and keep things going. Dear beloved friends, the content of the message is so important, isn't it? If we're going to work with him. With him. The grace of God must be supreme. Must be priority. I was speaking to a minister yesterday who was conducting a funeral. Hadn't seen him for a long time. And he was conducting his particular funeral where I was yesterday. And before the service, he came and spoke to me. And I said to him, are you still preaching the gospel? He said, I hadn't seen him for a few years. I won't tell you what he said. But anyway. The grace of God, the content is so important if we're working with him. With him. The grace of God is more than just a theological term. We may rehear much about the grace of God and so on. You know, I believe in the doctrines of grace. Content is so important, isn't it? The content of the message to be proclaimed from this pulpit is so vital if we're working with him. The content of the message is so vital in your church and fellowship. Is there good biblical teaching? Is it founded on the Word of God? Is there that sense of the Holy Spirit driving the Word home week by week? The content is so important. Where is God in it? Where is the sinner in it? Where is the message of regeneration? Where is the judgment in it? Oh, you say, mustn't mention that. You'll put people off the church. Beloved, We then, as workers together with him, will be deeply concerned if in that fellowship God's word is not faithfully proclaimed. Where is the sinner in it? She's made to feel his wretchedness before a holy God? Or is he just being entertained in the church fellowship like any music hall? We then, as workers together with him, will be concerned about the message. Where is the theme of judgment? Where is the free and sovereign grace of God mentioned? So that the sinner within the fellowship feels that he is missing much, and before the end of the service, he is driven to seek the Saviour for himself. Acts 14, in Iconium, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. Acts 15, reporting back to the sending church at Jerusalem, certain Pharisees sought to undermine the ministry. And Peter's reply is so interesting. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Paul's closing word, soon before he's going to meet his Saviour in Acts 20, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul never lost that vision of the fact that he was a worker with him, and soon he would be with him in glory, in glory. So we should be concerned about the content of the message if we are together working with him. Secondly, they will be concerned about the urgency of the message. Are you concerned that that word that you share with your friend and your neighbor, the urgency? Seek the Lord. My next door neighbor has not very long to live, and I go in from day to day. I plead with him. I pray with him. I read the Bible with him. He hasn't got long. Are we concerned about the urgency of this message? We beseech you. You remember the apostle could say in those wonderful words, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you. We beg of you. Get right with God. And if there's any dear friend here this afternoon who isn't sure of salvation, who hasn't a simple word of testimony to give, all that this afternoon, we then as workers together with God beseech you and long that you may be saved. Saved. In my ministry in Cheltenham Hospital for 7 years, as chaplain in my ministry at St. Richard's Hospice for 7 years, stood by the bedside of endless patients coming to the end of their lives. We are to be concerned about the urgency of the message. In my ministry now in the veteran homes in Gloucester, those men who have fallen on hard times, who have served our nation in the Army and Air Force and Navy, and now they're on the streets begging, addict to this, addict to that, I beseech them to seek the Lord while he may be found. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We are to be concerned about the content of the message because we are workers with God. We are to be concerned about the urgency of the message because we are workers with God. Thirdly, they will be concerned about the conduct of the messenger. This is so challenging to all of us who love Christ and are seeking to serve him. They will be concerned about the conduct of the messenger, as we read, giving no offense in anything, but in all things approving ourselves. Our overriding ambition, that the ministry be not blamed as the ministers of God. So we should be very sensitive and very prayerful as Christian workers with him, that by God's grace and by God's help, day by day, we may be kept pure and holy and spotless and clean, that the unbelieving world may not be able to point the finger at us and say, look at that. If that's a Christian, I want nothing to do with it. How important, beloved, we should be concerned about the conduct of the messenger, because we have a jealous regard for the honor and the glory of God, that the ministry be not blamed. It's the most dreadful thing, isn't it, when the national press get hold of a so-called Christian worker, minister, and they display gladly and gloatingly all his misdeeds. If that's a Christian, look at that. They have a jealous regard for the honor and glory of God because they are workers together with him. They have a high view of their position as ministers of God. They will be concerned to demonstrate the joy of a total allegiance to the gospel cause, whatever the hardships may be. We are workers together with God. And sometimes the path is easy, and sometimes the path is difficult, and sometimes the path is lonely, and so on. But we're working with him. What a blessed partnership. And he has promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. So there's a willingness on our part to suffer for his name. There's a willingness not to count the cost. Paul could say in Romans 8:18, for I reckon, he spent a few moments thinking this over, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And the day is coming, perhaps faster than some of us imagine, when we shall be with Christ, which is far, far better. The time is coming, perhaps very soon, when this chapel will be closed forever, and the witness here closed down, and the Lord's people will be with their Saviour. I reckon, I've turned it over in my mind, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Are you taken up with the glory which shall be revealed? We then as workers together with God. And last but not least, there will be times when we shall need much patience if we are working together with him. Paul says, by honor, dishonor, by evil report, by good report, as unknown and yet well known, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Oh, wonderful list, isn't there? Wonderful list of what God is able to do for me, through me, to his praise and to his glory. So I say, beloved, what a privilege if we celebrate this 100th year. What a privilege to be a worker together with him. What a wonderful master we serve. What a wonderful cause to make known the gospel. What a wonderful prospect, the end in view, so that we're able to say this afternoon, here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. May God help us to remember these few wonderful words. We then, as workers together, not for God, because that would tend to lead to pride. Look what I've done. Look at the leader I am. Look at the pastor I am. Look at the elder. No, no. We then, as workers together, with him. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We thank thee we serve a great God. We thank thee he is the head of the church, and that by your grace we've been saved and brought into that work, so many of us. And we pray lovingly now at the end of this service for those who know not Christ as their Saviour. O God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, work in their hearts. Give them no rest until they find their rest in thee. We ask it in our Saviour's worthy name. Amen.